angels waging war in the unseen realm. Global events fulfilling biblical prophecy. Eternal life. What lies beyond mortality? From analyzing the paranormal from a biblical worldview to the discussion of cutting-edge science and technology, conspiracy, discovery, special investigative reports. Unafraid to explore the challenging issues facing humanity, welcome to another edition of Skywatch TV.
The modern American church has become all about what God has in store for us and what we're supposed to enjoy as believers in Christ. But the New Testament is actually all about how. I wish I'd thought of that, but I'll credit our guests here as we introduce them. Welcome to Skywatch TV, a web exclusive. I'm Derek Gilbert. Joining me, authors and publishers, and they've carved out a very important ministry in the field of apologetics, how we can know what we know as Christians. Their publishing company is called Sufficient Word Publishing. They have several books out there that we recommend here at Skywatch TV, By Which We Are Saved, I Have Some Good News, and the subject of our conversation today, their brand new book, Bearing Fruit or Living Barren, The Essentials of Christian Spirituality. We welcome back to the program Preston and Kelly Condra. Welcome back. Good to see you guys again.
Thank you. Derek.
And Kelly's the one who actually had that line. I thought, well, okay, that's brilliant. Did she just open the show for me here? What versus how? Before we dive into the book, what do you mean by that? I'm kind of curious.
Well, when I was a new believer, I was obsessed with what does God want me to do? What does he want me to do? What does he want me to do? I asked it a lot, and I asked a lot of different people that question. And when I learned the scriptures better and when I learned about spirituality in the Christian walk, I realized how I walked was more important than what I was doing. And I'm sure we'll get into the topic a little bit more, but if we're not walking by the power of the Spirit, if we don't know how to walk, if we don't know how to discern whether we're spiritual or whether we're operating in our flesh, two people can be doing something that looks exactly the same, doing an act of Christian service, but one could be operating in their own power, and one could be operating by the power of the Spirit, and one pleases God and one does not please God.
And for me, early on as a believer, I became a believer when I was a teenager. The community of believers I was involved with was there's an emphasis on doing, you know, doing right, doing the Christian life, and never really taught a lot on how that was to be done. And so, you get into this race of trying to do my best to live the Christian life, and it ends up being in my own strength. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a couple things could result from that. There's self-righteousness. Hey, I'm a little better than so-and-so, so I'm doing pretty good. Or frustration that I still have my sin nature residing within me, and I sin from time to time. And so there's frustration that I can't quite live up to the expectations. Whereas now, how? Okay, now you read the letters to the church in the New Testament, and we talk about, you know, Paul tells us, the apostles tell us, how the Christian walk is to be.
Hmm. So the subject of your book, Bearing Fruit or Living Barren, is how we can discern then between this type of, you know, these two types of activity that may look very much alike, but in the spiritual realm are actually very different.
Very much so. We really want Christians to, our message for them is to start to learn to discern your own sin nature, your own sin principle functioning within you so you can recognize when you are operating by your sin. Paul calls it the law of sin, when you're operating in that method rather than operating by the power of the Holy Spirit. And if our focus is only on what should I do? Should I volunteer? Should I teach Sunday school? Should I go on a mission trip? Those are wonderful things to do. But can an unbeliever teach a Sunday school class? Can an unbeliever volunteer his time? Can an unbeliever go overseas? Yes. So if an unbeliever can do it, then it is not spiritual. Only a born-again Christian can be spiritual and be filled with the Spirit and empowered by grace. And therefore, if we don't know whether or not we are empowered by grace in any given moment, we are not doing anything that brings glory to God because he's not producing it. We are.
Hmm. You identify three different types of man or person in the letters of Paul. Paul makes it pretty clear there are three different types of believer, or, well, human, let's put it that way.
Yes.
You call the natural man, the spiritual man, and the carnal man. You say, mm-hmm, two out of three are believers, and I think, mm-hmm, most folks would guess wrong, because I did. So what are the differences between the natural man, the spiritual man, and the carnal man?
The natural man is the unbeliever. And
I see, now I would have guessed the carnal man.
Well, they look the same. The carnal man looks like the natural man.
Mm-hmm.
He's living like the natural man, making the same decisions like the natural man. But the carnal man, the spiritual man, are really, it's the believer. The believer can either be spiritual, cooperating with God, or he can be carnal and yielding to his own flesh. Whereas the natural man, that's the unbeliever. He does not have that choice. He doesn't have the choice to be spiritual. He doesn't have the choice to cooperate with God. He has not believed the gospel and therefore entered into a relationship with God. So there are three distinguishable things. Now, for the Christian, you can be carnal at any point. We're capable of anything, mm-hmm, still, because the law of sin, our sin nature, still resides within us even after we believe the gospel, and it always will as long as we're in this body.
Hmm.
The natural man is natural because he's still in the condition in which he was born. He's natural. He is not changed by the Spirit of God. He's not indwelt. Now, once a person believes the gospel, 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, they believe that for the purpose of salvation are born again, they still have a choice to cooperate with God or not cooperate with God. When they're saying yes to God, mm-hmm, that's our shortcut way of saying they're spirit-filled. They're saying yes when God sheds light on something or opens a door for them and they say yes, or they say yes to truth. Yes, I agree with this thing I've learned in the Bible. Yes, I'm going to do what God, you know, is showing me. When they're saying yes and they're depending on God to produce the ability and the will to do it, because the Bible says he will give us both to will and, mm-hmm, to do. We don't even have to conjure up our own willpower to do things.
Mm-hmm.
We can, mm-hmm, pray, Lord, I'm willing to be made willing. I really don't want to share the gospel. It's scary. It's intimidating. But I know you want me to, so I'm willing to be made willing, and I direct my faith toward that verse, that promise of God. When I direct my faith toward it and say, I believe it, I want this to be actual in my life, then God produces that in me, and I will do God's will.
Hmm.
And the reason we say direct your faith, that's a different term. Some may not have heard that before. Faith always has an object, right? You know, we were talking on camera before, you were talking about the apologists you heard. They, mm-hmm, I'm sure, emphasize that. Faith always has an object.
Faith is
in something.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we say directing our faith, we're saying put your faith in the promises of God. When we do that, the result is he produces what he promises.
Hmm. So how do we move from a status of carnality, being a carnal believer, to being a spiritual believer? Is that what it takes then, just praying for God to lead us in that direction and being open to the Spirit's leading? Or?
Well, let me make a little bit of a distinction. We can't pray for things we already have.
Okay.
We already have. It's a prayer that can't be answered if God's already done it. So it might seem counterintuitive to say, don't pray for that. But it's more about knowing. You know, it's more about, the prayer isn't an asking kind of a prayer. It's a prayer for understanding, for illumination, to be able to use what you already have, if that, mm-hmm, makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So if God's already indwelling me, I'm already able to produce the fruit of the Spirit. And that's why we say directing your faith, because we want to make the point that faith has an object. I see this verse. It says that God wants me to, for example, share the gospel. I believe it. I believe he can empower me to do that. Then he produces that ability. He produces that willingness. But if I'm saying no, I'm carnal. If I'm saying no to God, I'm shutting that door of fellowship, and he's not going to force me. The way that I learned this was someone telling me to do dishes as unto the Lord. That's actually how I learned how to be spiritual. And it sounds so funny. It was such a simple, almost silly example, because I had this mentor. this woman that spent so much time answering my questions when I was a young believer. And she was the one I kept saying, but what do I do? What do I do? And I would even do little things to help someone. God, did you like that? Did you think that was really great? Yeah. You know? And I really wanted to please him, but I just didn't get it. She said, I want you to forget about what to do and just do dishes unto the Lord. And I thought, how in the world am I going to do that? But when I was doing my dishes then, I thought, okay, if God was my boss and I was doing the dishes for him,
mm-hmm.
what would that look like? And I thought, well, I shouldn't complain. For some reason, I never, ever lived in a house that had a dishwasher. I always had a lot of dishes to do. And I thought, okay, I shouldn't be complaining about it. I shouldn't be grumbling. I shouldn't have a bad attitude. I shouldn't be discontented because I don't have a dishwasher. And I started to realize it's how I do the dishes. That's what pleases the Lord.
Okay.
It isn't just doing the dishes. Of course, he wants me to keep my house clean and take care of things at home. But it's how I do it. I'm doing it with gratitude for the food that got the dishes dirty. I'm doing it with gratitude that I have hot water and a sink. I mean, it can be anything. You can vacuum unto the Lord. You can, mm-hmm. you know, clip your dog's nails unto the Lord. Because it's the attitude and the motive behind it. Am I trying to get a pat on the back from someone? Am I feeling prideful about it? Or is it an attitude of thankfulness and contentment? Those are the fruit of the Spirit. The love, the joy, the peace, the self-control, the goodness, the meekness, which means I'm willing to let him lead me and not lead myself. And that is how we do all things is unto the Lord. Then when I'm doing all things is unto the Lord, I'm Spirit-filled. And I'm not operating in my flesh, which if I switch to, oh, I don't have a dishwasher, then I'm back in my flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go back and forth 100 times a day.
Mm-hmm.
And on the flip side, you know, we have a dog named Kenny. We love our little poodle. I can't kick Kenny as unto the Lord, right?
Right, right, right.
So there's the other side. If you're trying to decide is,
you know, we
how
see,
do you know what you can
we
do?
We see that kind of thing
right.
in social media a lot. I'm going to smash
Kenny.
This guy in the mouth as
yeah.
unto the Lord.
Yeah, right.
It's in Christian love
yeah.
because he's an idiot.
Right.
We sadly see way too much of that in social media. It makes it yeah. easy to do that kind of thing.
It does.
Yeah.
And this is how you learn to live without law, because that was another thing that was hard for me to understand was, but wait a minute now, if I'm not living by law, how do I know what to do? Well, you go back to your motive, your attitude, and whether you're producing spiritual fruit. Spiritual fruit is spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a spirit product. It isn't a thing. Now, things will result from being spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how I judge. That's how the Lord helps me discern what I'm doing. Well, can I go, you know, beat somebody up as unto the Lord? No, I don't need a law to tell me that.
Right.
I can look at my own motive and say my motive is not godly here.
Right.
Yeah. Well, this makes a lot of sense. And, you know, this is a question that obviously the early church wrestled with. The Epistle of James deals with this. You know, faith without works is dead.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a question that has caused division and a lot of wrestling and consternation amongst mm-hmm. believers for the last 2,000 years as we try to figure it out. But that makes washing dishes as unto the Lord. We're going to talk about Kelly as a speaker at conferences and why stuff like this is why people are really excited to hear her when she talks. When we continue talking about the book, Bearing Fruit or Living Barren, Preston and Kelly Condra, the authors. Our conversation continues after this on Skywatch TV.
From the Garden of Eden to our current day, dark Luciferian entities have worked to destroy mankind, while biblical prophecy points to a soon coming war between earthly governments and a clash of colossal proportions. Dr. Thomas Horn says you cannot understand much of the Bible unless you read and grasp the revelations in the Gods of War Super Collection. For your $35 donation during this very limited time offer, you'll receive The Alliance of Evil, the groundbreaking new book by Pentagon analyst Lieutenant Colonel Robert McGinnis, which unveils the prophetic new dual Cold War between the U.S., Russia, and China unfolding across the global spectrum now. The Gods of Ground Zero, that explains the supernatural forces operating behind current global events. And The Last Clash of the Titans, which analyzes the most overlooked prophecies in the Bible and explains how Jesus Christ himself will soon go to war against the gods of antiquity. But with this three-volume critical collection, you'll also receive completely free of charge the brand new, never-before-released, full-length DVD, War of the Gods. Volume 1, Search for the Titans. Walk one-on-one with your personal guides, Derek and Sharon Gilbert, through a tour of the Holy Land, including Shiloh, Bethel, and Mount Hermon. You will see where the final battle between God and the rebel angels will take place. And you'll explore for yourself Sardinia's megalithic tombs of the giants, their connection to the ancient Canaanites, and the final battle. And that's not all. You'll also receive, for a very limited time, the best of the first annual Blessed Hope Prophecy Conference on DVD. This two-disc DVD collection is jam-packed with over 11 hours of mind-boggling revelations from presenters like Dr. Thomas R. Horn on deep state saboteurs and the secret destiny of America, Sharon Gilbert on the return of the ancients through pharmakia, necromancy, and virtual reality, Lieutenant Colonel Robert McGinnis on the inside war against President Trump by elite secret societies, and unforgettable presentations from celebrated theologian Dr. Michael Lake, Derek P. Gilbert, Josh Peck, and more. But we're still not done. Skywatch TV's Off the Record series is back by popular demand with a brand new, never-before-aired DVD, The Gods of War Edition, featuring exclusive interviews with Detective Carl Gallops, Senior Pentagon Analyst Robert McGinnis, Derek and Sharon Gilbert on the coming hyper-battle between the forces of God and the titans of biblical prophecy. This content is only available in this exclusive offer and will not be aired anywhere else. Included for a limited time with the Gods of War Super Collection. This unprecedented collection, sold separately, holds a retail value of $220. All six items, yours now for your donation of only $35 plus shipping and handling. This, without a doubt, is the largest special offer of the summer and is available only while supplies last. So don't delay. The Gods of War Super Collection, available now at SkywatchTVStore.com. Order online or call 1-844-750-4985.
Welcome back to Skywatch TV. I'm Derek Gilbert. Joining me, the authors of a new book. It's as you can see, it's not something that should be intimidating to read, but yet the topic is really important as it helps us to understand what it means to be a Christian, Bearing Fruit or Living Barren, Preston and Kelly Condra. You all recently spoke at a conference for our friend Pastor Mike Spaulding in Lima, Ohio. Mm-hmm. And well, what was this comment they said, that you should be a comedian because...
Some people came up to me afterwards, several people actually, and said, I hope we weren't disturbing your speaking by laughing so much. You should be a comedian. I didn't know if that was good or not at a Christian conference, but...
Well, and you've been speaking at conferences recently as well, so...
Yeah, I got to speak at that conference too, mm-hmm. Mike's conference, and then speaking church is pretty regular.
Mm-hmm.
Sunday mornings, usually.
And we should point out that Preston is an ordained Baptist minister, and Kelly, for her part, is got a master's degree in educational psychology and clinical counseling. So we're not talking with people who are, you know, just one day decided to be speakers. These are folks who've got some training behind it. But if they're interested in having either or both of you speak, where would they go to find out more information?
Our website, I think, would be the place to get a hold of us, sufficientwordpublishing.com, sufficientwordpublishing.com. And you can also look us up on Facebook, facebook.com/sufficientword. So you can look us up and get a hold of us at either place there.
And give us a like.
And give us a like on Facebook. You can connect with me on Twitter at Preston Condra. That is a big part of our ministry, Derek, is the teaching, speaking in the churches, speaking at women's conferences. In fact, we're going to be at a conference in Little Rock just in a couple of weeks.
Christian foster care workers, we're going to be presenting about how to share your faith.
Yeah, well, that's one that hits close to home because our sister ministry here, Whispering Ponies Ranch, deals exclusively with foster children.
Oh, okay.
Children in foster care.
There's a great need for Christians to help in foster care.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, let's talk about quenching the Spirit and grieving the Spirit. This is something that terms that I've heard, not really growing up in church. I grew up in liturgical denominations where this kind of, you know, the Spirit is, you know, that was Old Testament, or, you know,
they didn't really know what to do with
apostolic
them.
Age. Yeah, the Spirit, mm-hmm. we'll acknowledge that it existed at one point, but we don't see much of that these days. How do you live barren rather than produce fruit by quenching this? What does it mean to quench the Spirit?
Quench means we're not doing God's will. Grieve is we're sinning, so we're grieving the Spirit. Not doing God's will, an instance would be if I know I should share my faith and I don't, for example, that would be an example of quenching the spirit. I'm not cooperating with the Lord. Now, it may seem as though it's not sin. You know, I'm not getting into more immorality per se, but I'm quenching him working in me, maturing me, because I'm not cooperating with him and going on with what I know he wants me to do, that we see clearly in Scripture that I'm to do. So I'm just saying no, I'm not cooperating with him. Whereas grieving, hey, I am acting independent from God in the way that I'm choosing to, you know, I'm sinning, rebellious, or just any kind of, you know, well, any sin's rebellious. You know, anything, in fact, anything that's not of faith is sin, Scripture says. So those are the, in a generic way, a general way, those are the differences between those two.
That reminds me, that makes a good connection, that verse, whatever is not of faith is sin. So if you think about doing your dishes unto the Lord, if I am doing any task, any mundane task, or if I'm at work doing my job, and I am directing faith toward the Lord to say, he says I can be content, I can be content in my job. This is where he has me right now. I am using faith. That is the system we're using, not law. We're using the system of faith, grace through faith, to empower us to do all things as unto the Lord. And therefore, the only other option is sin. Mm-hmm. You're either operating by grace through faith and letting him lead you and guide you and give you that peace and joy and self-control and goodness and all these good fruits, or you're operating in your sin nature. So that's why there's only two.
Mm-hmm.
You're either operating in one system or you're operating on your own.
Mm-hmm. So there's no middle ground.
There's no middle ground. You're either carnal or spiritual every minute.
And the reason we emphasize it's a faith system, I mean, we see all through the letters to the church. And we say the letters to the church, right? This is the writings from the apostles, from Paul, who wrote the most. And he says in Colossians, just as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Well, how did we become believers? You received, that's what he's talking about there. By believing the gospel, by grace through faith, that I'm a sinner, that Jesus died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and on the third day he rose from the dead. How do I get salvation? By faith, by simply believing that saving message, which, by the way, is what our book by which we were saved, and I have some good news about.
Right, a brilliant summary of 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4.
1 through 4, yeah. Which is the gospel. And so it is faith walk, and Paul tells us that again in Romans 1:17, the just shall live by faith.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So this is a reason we emphasize that the Christian life is a walk by faith. That's the how. We're not just looking at the outcome of a morality, godly, and those, we expect those things. But if we're just striving to get those things instead of turning our attention to the Lord, walking, putting our faith in him, believe in him, let him produce that in us. Because you can, I think, you can produce these lifestyle kinds of things in a limited way in your own strength, but you know what you won't experience going through that is the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the goodness, the gentleness, the self-control. It becomes a system I'm living within that I'm expected to do.
Kind of Pharisaical in a sense.
It
can become legalistic.
It can be that way.
And another verse that comes to mind is, be not weary in well-doing. Mm-hmm. Well, if you're always trying to dredge up your own willpower for everything, it is wearying. It's physically wearying. Oh, these people, I try to share the gospel and they don't believe it. They don't listen to me. They won't, you know, they won't cooperate. And of course you're going to get weary. Does God get weary with us? Apparently not. He keeps loving us no matter how much we fail. So when we have the mind of Christ, when we're accessing his way of thinking and we're accessing how we do these things by his power, we will not become weary. Mm-hmm. We will be just as excited about the gospel as we were when we first got saved. We'll still be on fire for the Lord. We'll still love his word. That is what the Christian life is. It is not dragging yourself through and just praying for the rapture. Of course we're praying for the blessed hope,
sure.
And we're looking for his glorious appearing.
Mm-hmm.
But it isn't just that. It isn't just hiding until he comes back. It is letting him fill us so that we are He fills up what is lacking. That is the filling of the Spirit. It's not control like it was in Acts 2 where they didn't know these things because there was no Bible and he had to actually make them, you know, say these things. It was a different word for filling. This is a filling up what's lacking. So he's just making up the difference so that what we produce is unto his glory.
Mm-hmm. That's a really good point. You mentioned the filling of the Spirit because I was going to ask about this in just a couple of minutes left because there are people today in churches that are looking to perform certain spiritual disciplines in order to be filled with the Spirit, whether it's a certain type of prayer routine. I hesitate to use the word ritual, but it might be accurate. Certain types of music. Certain, you know, meditation where one empties the mind in order to then be filled with the Spirit. You are really saying that, no, this is something different.
Exactly. What probably those people are actually seeking without knowing it is a soulish experience. They want to feel something. That is the realm of the soul. They want to have an experience. They want to feel like they've encountered God. Or
something transcendent.
Yes. But the Spirit, Corinthians tells us the Spirit is the knowing part of us. It knows the things of God, and no unborn person that's not born of the Spirit can know the things of God. Now, if you know the things of God, it will inform your soul, and you will experience the joy and the peace and the love. But it has to come from the Spirit informing the soul, not the body having experience and then that feeding the soul.
Okay.
That's why the James 1 fence sitter, the soul, you're a double-minded man. It's actually a double-souled man. Like your soul can go this way or it can go that way. So if your flesh and your externals are the ones making you feel better, that's why it says don't be drunk with wine wherein is excess. It actually says there's no saving quality in wine. In other words, you're taking this external to try to make your soul feel better, but it doesn't last.
And in the Greek, soul is psyche.
If you let the Spirit inform your soul, if you let truth give you that joy and peace, it lasts and it works every time and you don't need more wine, you know. It's because we have to keep refilling on the fleshly things.
Yeah. Well, the light bulb that went on here was that that was apparently a ritual that was performed by the ancient Canaanites. They would actually have groups that would get together and drink lots of wine to have that kind of an experience. There are religious texts that have been found from the time of the Judges that point to that and discuss. Well,
we don't have
to use up the rest of our time here. We just have about half a minute left.
We don't have to seek filling.
Right.
That's what we are filled. When we look to the truth and we say yes to God, we are yielded and we are filled, period.
Yeah. That's the key thing.
Yep.
And, well, I'm glad you addressed that in the book. The new book is Bearing Fruit or Living Barren. Preston Condra and Kelly Condra are the authors. Sufficient Word Publishing. Where would they get a copy of the book?
Anywhere books are sold, they can be ordered.
And on Amazon. And if you want to use them in your church, contact us on our website.
Okay, sufficientwordpublishing.com. Well, some good stuff there. And if you want an expanded interview, I'll be having them as guests on my podcast, A View from the Bunker, which is at vftb.net. very soon, and we'll be able to expand on this a little bit. I want to talk more about the filling of the Spirit from the outside rather than trying to make it happen from the inside out. I think that's a key difference and one that, you know, some of our more charismatic churches need to address today. But in the meanwhile, we thank you for watching as we keep watching. I'm Derek Gilbert. This is Skywatch TV.